When I wasn't hanging out with my new online pseudo-girlfriend, I devoted the rest of my time to leveling up my avatar. Gunters called this making the climb to 99, because 99th level was the maximum power level an avatar could attain. Artemis and H had both recently done it, and I felt compelled to catch up. It actually didn't take me very long. I now had nothing but free time, and I had the money and the means to fully explore the oasis. So I began to complete every quest I could find, sometimes jumping 5 or 6 levels in one day. I became a split-class warrior mage. As my stats continued to increase, I honed my avatar's combat and spellcasting abilities while collecting a wide array of powerful weapons, magic items, and vehicles. Artemis and I even teamed up for a few quests. We visited the planet Goondocks and finished the entire Goonies quest in just one day. Artie played through it as Martha Plimpton's character, Steph, while I played as Mikey, Sean Astin's character. It was entirely too much fun. I didn't spend all of my time goofing off. I tried to keep my head in the game. Really, I did. At least once a day, I would pull up the quatrain and try once again to decipher its meaning. The captain conceals the jade key in a dwelling long neglected, but you can only blow the whistle once the trophies are all collected. For a while, I thought that the whistle in the third line might be a reference to a late 60s Japanese TV show called The Space Giants, which had been dubbed in English and rebroadcast in the United States in the 70s and 80s. The Space Giants, called Maguma Taishi in Japan, featured a family of transforming robots who lived in a volcano and battled an evil alien villain named Rodak. Halliday referred to this show several times in Anorak's Almanac, citing it as one of his childhood favorites. One of the show's main characters was a boy named Miko, who would blow a special whistle to summon the robots to his aid. I watched all 52 ultra-cheesy episodes of The Space Giants back-to-back while wolfing down corn chips and taking notes. But when the viewing marathon was over, I still wasn't any closer to understanding the quatrain's meaning. I'd hit another dead end. I decided that Halliday must be referring to some other whistle. Then, one Saturday morning, I finally made a small breakthrough. I was watching a collection of vintage 80s cereal commercials when I paused to wonder why cereal manufacturers no longer included toy prizes inside every box. It was a tragedy, in my opinion, another sign that civilization was going straight down the tubes. I was still pondering this when an old Cap'n Crunch commercial came on. And that was when I made a connection between the first and third lines of the quatrain. The captain conceals the jade key, but you can only blow the whistle. Halliday was alluding to a famous 70s hacker named John Draper, better known by the alias Captain Crunch. Draper was one of the first phone freaks, and he was famous for discovering that the toy plastic whistles found as prizes in boxes of Cap'n Crunch cereal could be used to make free long-distance phone calls because they emitted a 2600 Hz tone that tricked the old analog phone system into giving you free access to the line. The captain conceals the jade key. That had to be it. The captain was Cap'n Crunch, and the whistle was the famous toy plastic whistle of phone freak lore. Maybe the jade key was disguised as one of those toy plastic whistles, and it was hidden in a box of Cap'n Crunch cereal. But where was that cereal box hidden? In a dwelling long neglected. I still didn't know what long neglected dwelling that line referred to or where to look for it. I visited every neglected dwelling I could think of, recreations of the Addams Family house, the abandoned shack in the Evil Dead trilogy, Tyler Durden's flophouse in Fight Club, and the Lars homestead on Tatooine. No luck finding the jade key inside any of them. Dead end after dead end. But you can only blow the whistle once the trophies are all collected. I still hadn't deciphered the meaning of that last line either. What trophies did I have to collect? Or was that some kind of half-assed metaphor?